From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
What a horse race. These two nose and nose to the wire. Beholder on the inside. Stella Wind on the outer. Stella Wind's going to beat her.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
The Betfair.com Haskell has turned into a thriller. An Exaggerator has gone right on by. A tremendous performance from Exaggerator under Ken DeSormo to win it by two.
Oh, my goodness. Look at Frosted today. Frosted's 10 in front. Frosted is absolutely rubbed in the Met Mile. He was wrapped up.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, HRRN Nation, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. 13 days, 6 hours, 23 minutes, and 47 seconds away from that Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita. Diving headlong into the final furlong of that road to the Breeders' Cup for you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Coverage this afternoon coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern. You're going to hear the Grade 2 Lexus Raven run from Keeneland, and you'll hear the 31st running of the Maryland Million Classic from Laurel. Should be a good afternoon of racing, and we are happy to have you with us to kick it off this morning. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick 4, special guest co-host in studio with us, that is the Godfather, Tony Attiano from the Lexus store of Lexington. We'll visit with him here momentarily. But JT, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. That Colmus guy, he sure gets excited when he calls.
I know.
Races.
How about that, huh? A lot of energy. Energy is good. Energy, people.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that.
Energy. Energy.
Yeah. It's amazing, though. He gets to scream in there at the end. He's a screamer.
I'm not touching that line. Well, look, big afternoon of racing. Probably not going to see the horses that we see this afternoon in the Maryland Million or in the Raven Run head on to the Breeders' Cup. We're getting close to the World Championships. I think most of the preparations have now been done. The fields will be set this coming week. Pre-entry is going to be taken on Monday. On Wednesday, there'll be an announcement with all those pre-entries, and we'll kind of get a sense of who's going where and who's going to have preference in certain races and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I wouldn't be totally shocked if somebody came out of the Raven Run.
It can happen.
Run back in 2 weeks, sprinter back in 2 weeks. It's a old school handicapping ploy. Huh, Tony?
You got it. You're the man.
Godfather, good morning.
Buongiorno. Buongiorno, do. My God, you can't believe this, folks. I wish you had a camera here right now. We got the Baron with his Steeler hat on, his Preakness shirt. Looks, I mean, we know that that's where he's at and that's where he's coming from. Then we got the big man, Big Jude, and he's got his Barbados blue and gold sweatshirt with the 30. He's got a 30 on. I don't know what the hell the 30 is. I asked him. He said, I don't know. That's so many times he's turned down women. So I don't know. I don't want to get into that.
Just this
that's
month.
Something else. Yeah. But I mean, it's just incredible. Now, I will tell you that I have to chime in on this. I have my Lexus Raven Run ball cap on.
Yes, and it's vintage, 2009.
Well, I have them for every year that we gave them out.
And well, you should.
And I just keep that because I'm very, very proud of my association on our association with Lexus and Keeneland. I mean, it's like being with the Yankees. You know, what can I say? A lot of people in the state of Kentucky are born and raised in the state of Kentucky, and they take it for granted. As you notice, I have that northern Kentucky accent, so it's hard for a lot of people to understand me sometimes, but I am true blue Kentucky. I love the state, love the people, and it's a pleasure being here with these guys.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was, what, 2005 when the Lexus store of Lexington became the sponsor of the Raven Run? Is that right?
We've had it now. This is going on our 11th year.
Yeah.
Our 11th year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because for, what, 12, 13 years now, mm-hmm. Tony, going back to when the Lexus store was in the old location,
right,
on Nicholasville Road, going toward Nicholasville, I had promoted the fact that Lexus and the Lexus store of Lexington were involved in supporting the industry. Right. And this is just another example of that, obviously.
Well, again, you know, I've been in the horse business for, Jesus, now 35, 40 years. I came up with some ideas to really associate with the horse industry. And the ownership group, Rick Avar, Rick Pitino, Jamal Mashburn, I couldn't ask for any better people to be really be associated with. They said, that's a good idea. Let's try to do something with Keeneland. And, you know, the horse people, if anybody doesn't know anybody that's in the horse business, I feel sorry for you because you're really meeting a hell of a person, whether it's a male, a female. I don't care what they are, transgender. Doesn't matter, folks. I mean, they're just hardworking people. The basic concept of everyone who is in this business is the horse. You really have to love the horse. And when we first started with you, Michael, and Peter, I mean, those were great days only because Pete was such a character, and he would always kid me about Kew Gardens, Queens. Remember?
Sure, yeah.
Kew Gardens. And he would always do his impression of, who the heck was that, the Dodger announcer, not Connie Desmond, Red Barber.
Yep.
And since I had done that with the organization, he said, the big right hand is warming up. Remember, he had it down. He had it down. So it was a lot of fun and just great, great, great memories.
Well, the 18th running of that Lexus Raven Run comes up at 5:30 Eastern time this afternoon. It's going to be race 9 at Keeneland. Should be a fast main track. Temperature is going to be in the upper 50s here in Lexington today, so a bit cooler. It'll probably feel a little chillier than that when you make your way out to Keeneland, but that's okay. It's going to be a great day of racing. The sun will be shining. 5:30 Eastern. Our coverage of that race and the Maryland Million Classic begins at 5 o'clock Eastern on horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile and Anthony Affronti will bring you that coverage later today.
Yeah, it's a really good day of racing. Maryland Million card is ridiculous. The Raven Run, big competitive field as usual. I don't know how you selected that race to sponsor. Maybe it was just a little bit of luck or one that was available, but every year it seems like that field is really, really good.
Well, I can't take credit for that. I went there just to sit down and talk to Nick Nicholson because he was my customer at Lexus. And I'd spoken to Rick about it, and he said, yeah, why don't you sit down and explore that? So I sat down with Nick, and I'm thinking of a $75,000, $85,000 allowance race, something like that. And Nick was thinking about something a little bit different. So Nick happened to say, he says, gee, you know, we just lost the sponsor, and you guys would fit in just perfect. And I said, for what? He said, for the Lexus, we could call it the Lexus Raven Run. I didn't know what the heck a Raven Run was. I thought it was like a chicken or something. I said, what is a Raven Run, you know? I said, yeah, okay, what is that? He said, at that time it was a grade 3, and it was $250,000. I said, Mami, I got to get into this now. Because I've got to report back to Rick and let him know what it is. But Nick was very, very kind. Fran Taylor was kind enough to take me over to the Raven Run and show me that, and that was super. And I met with Rick the next morning, and I figured, I don't know what he's going to say. You know, $250,000, are you crazy or something? And I told him, he kept asking, I kept dodging the number, kept dodging the number, typical like a horse player, right? And then finally I said, it's $250,000. And he goes, $250,000? I said, yeah. He says, I love it. Let's do it. You're crazier than I am.
That's funny. It's the same number I threw at him when I walked in the door for a sponsorship of this program. It didn't go quite so well.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Had to whittle it a little bit.
Yeah, we had to negotiate back and forth a little bit. Anyways, Godfather, stay with us. We're going to get to our first commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk Maryland Million with Cricket Goodall, who is the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and of the Maryland Million. We'll talk to her about that 31st running of this event and everything that's gone in to making it what it is today. We'll do that when we come back, and then we'll talk more with Tony in the first half of the program. Second half features John Gasper, and we'll spend some time looking at the Raven Run and the Maryland Million Classic. And then after those selections, we will preview a couple of Breeders' Cup divisions for you. We'll take a look at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Juvenile Fillies, and that outstanding running of the Breeders' Cup Distaff. If everything holds together, that's going to be a really, really good race. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field.
Only on HRRN.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious 2-year-old. finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services, with the highest degree of service, and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Friends, Buckaroo is now past Talk Show Man. Not Abroad is dropped to the back of the pack. Now they're back to Fort Collins and Fred High as they're into the stretch. And it's Admiral's War Chest looking to stay on for another furlong and a half. Bullheaded Boy, the full charge in second, has six lengths to make up in the final furlong. Bullheaded Boy is trying with all of his heart. Admiral's War Chest desperate for the line. Admiral's War Chest just there. Bullheaded Boy surging. Admiral's War Chest, Bullheaded Boy. I'm Mr. Blue, the Talk Show Man and Friends Buckaroo.
Our man Dave Rodman up in Maryland with the call. And Dave Rodman going to be calling the Maryland Million later this afternoon, the 31st running of the Jim McKay Maryland Million. And we are happy to have you back with us here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, special guest co-host Tony Attiano, the godfather from the Lexus store of Lexington. We are in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, but that is not where Cricket Goodall is. Cricket, the executive director of the Maryland Million and the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, no doubt is in Maryland this afternoon as she readies for that 31st Maryland Million Day at the races. First run, October 18th of 1986. And think about this. Since that first running, 21 states have gone on to model special days after the Maryland Million program. That is a huge feather in their cap, and it's going to be a great day of racing in Laurel later today. Cricket, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself? Happy Maryland Million Day.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm at lovely Laurel on a windy autumn day, looking forward to another great Maryland Million Day.
You think back to where you started with this whole event, Cricket. When the Maryland Million first started back in 1986, you were working on a horse farm up that way, and now here you are as the executive director. You have to be very proud of the way that this day has developed.
I am. I'm definitely proud that we kept it going, and as I probably read about, Jim McKay was the impetus behind it and really did all the heavy lifting in the beginning. But the Stallion guys, we had to get on board. That's how I found out about it. They were coming to the Stallion Farms in Maryland to ask for them to support it. And believe me, a couple of them were like, you know, is this going to work? We're not sure. But they all did, and, you know, here we are today. And it really has sustained Maryland's breeding industry throughout some tough times, you know, getting mares to come to breed to Maryland Stallions. Because we've been, you know, up and down in the last few years, and Maryland Million was, you know, surviving through all that. So, yes, I'm really proud.
When I was training horses, I had a lot of people from Maryland work for me, and I've been to Maryland many times and really enjoy the racing there and the farms especially. It's such a great horse racing state and such a long tradition. It's really beautiful that this thing has lasted 30 years and looks like it's going to last for another 30.
Yeah, it's the Strana Group has really embraced it too, and we're happy about that. And they're showing off all the new refurbishing at Laurel, which is great. They rolled out a lot of new things last year and this year again. So it's helping us, you know, to have another resurgence to celebrate our anniversary. It's sort of a milestone anniversary, I guess, with a track that almost feels brand new. So that's huge.
Cricket, talk a little bit more about that renovation. It's a multi-million dollar project. I know it's still ongoing, but from everything that I've heard, and I haven't seen it personally, it is going to be absolutely spectacular when it's finished.
Yeah, it's amazing. You're going to have to get up here. Tim Ritzo came in here, you know, with big ideas and lots of energy, and they have, you know, done just from painting and new TVs and sort of basic stuff all the way to a redesigned dining room this year, a tiered dining room with wonderful boxes right on the glass. And then he's got, you know, in the next couple of years, he's got plans for a new paddock and very, very nice new barns. They've already put up, I think, three big tent barns like they have at Gulfstream. And there's plans for a couple of big stick barns, he calls them, so more traditional type barns on the backstretch. And it helps. You know, the whole feel is just exciting. Like, you know, it's really a good thing. I think they're looking forward to trying to get the Breeders' Cup here and reestablishing. I don't know if you've heard about this, but they're going to reestablish the Washington, D.C. International. Now they'll name it in 2017 the Maryland International. So that's going to be a huge deal because that race in our world, in Maryland's world, was huge. You know, it was a precursor to the Breeders' Cup and really established Laurel as you know, the first place that had European horses coming to race. So they're going to work hard to do that, and they're supposed to roll that out in 17.
Well, Cricket, when you mentioned that particular event coming back to prominence in the state of Maryland, the godfather, Tony Ottaviano, lit up like a Christmas tree over here. He pumped his fists up in the air like Mike Smith winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. A big deal there, Tony.
Well, I tell you, is it Cricket?
Yeah.
Gee, Cricket. Yep. I usually like Crickets. Cricket, nice meeting with you. Nice talking to you. But I'm an old dog here, and I will tell you, I remember the international race every year. I mean, that was just big time. You folks are so fortunate. Just listen to what I'm going to say now, to have Frank Stronach. You couldn't ask for a better owner than this man. He is.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, I know you are. And, you know, I've had my son was a trainer. And he was based at Laurel and Bowie, so I know quite a bit about Maryland. Great state, great people. Used to have great stallions there at one time. You know, you weren't Kentucky, but you were the best on the East Coast, and I'm glad that he's doing everything to bring that back. So you were the winner. There's no question about that.
Yeah, it's all coming together in Maryland. I mean, the breeding industry, the report of mare's bred numbers came out yesterday, I believe, and the breeding industry here was up 15%.
Right.
You know, there's nothing like it in the region that's happening now.
Right.
So it's our time. We lived through some tough times, and now we're benefiting from, you know, sort of all the pieces falling into place. And, yeah, we're enjoying it.
Good
we're really
attitude.
Enjoying it.
Yeah, and Maryland Million Day, people may not realize this, the second most successful day of racing in the state of Maryland behind only Preakness Day. So you think about that. And then, Cricket, you think about the other misconception that is surrounding Maryland Million. I think every year people say, well, it's only for Maryland breds. That's not the case. It's actually for horses that are by Maryland stallions, and horses by 107 stallions standing in the state are going to be represented in the Maryland Million, or at least there's 107 stallions in the state. We won't have them all represented this afternoon, but certainly plenty will be.
Exactly. The Maryland Million was designed as a sire stakes program, just sort of as the Breeders' Cup had been, and we have been able to maintain that. Some of the other models for Maryland Million ended up with their bred, you know, their California breds or New York breds, and that's fine. We have an option now because we wanted to make sure we got some full field, so we do have an option for Maryland bred horses to come in if we don't get full fields. But the majority of the horses that run are Maryland sired horses, and that was, we wanted people to come in and breed to our stallions in Maryland, and that's what they did. And it's coming back, obviously, with the report of mare's bred numbers. You know, that's coming back, and we're getting better stallions. I mean, we've had, you know, Not For Love was, you know, he could stand up with anybody, and he's been sort of put us on the map. I mean, he's not Northern Dancer, but he was a pretty darn nice stallion for Maryland, Allen's Prospect. You know, Maryland can make stallions, which is a really good thing. Malibu Moon started his career here, and so that's something that a lot of states can't do as well as we do either, if I say so myself.
Yeah, well, it's a difficult part of our business, making a stallion, and you need the support of the people that own the mares. And you know, if you have a stallion that doesn't have the backing of a big farm or a farm with a lot of outside clients, it makes it really, really tough. So hats off to you guys for being able to do that.
Well, and we have a thriving commercial market here. The yearling sale that was just in early October was up by every measure. It was the only yearling sale where every measure was up. The average growth and the RNAs were down. So, you know, right now we've got all, you know, we're hitting on all cylinders, and that's what you need, I think. You need a commercial market. You need the stallions to have support, just as you said. You need some big race days to get fans involved, and that's what we're doing here. And, yeah, we're really proud of it.
Talking with Cricket Goodall, the executive director of the Maryland Horse Breeders Association and the Maryland Million. Cricket, you think about this afternoon's event and the Classic, which we're going to have live coverage of here on the network again this year. I believe it's the fifth consecutive year we've been able to provide coverage of that Maryland Million Classic. That begins at 5 o'clock Eastern. The race will be run at 5:13 Eastern, but it has 11 horses. You have Just Jack, who is the 9-5 morning line favorite. You have Admiral's War Chest, the defending champion, coming back to defend his title. And then, of course, you look at the other races on the program, and there's 26-time stakes winner Ben's Cat going to the post. So, boy, a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, we've got some great horses coming back, some good stories. Ben's Cat, Monster Sleeping's in again. She's won a lot. Just Jack, who, you know, a great guy. Dr. Mike Harrison owns and bred him and said he's just, you know, so excited about today. So it's great. It's good. There's just really good stories behind all these horses. I said the winner's circle on Maryland Million Day is the best place to be, not only if you win the race, but if you hear the stories, the backstory about the little guy who, you know, had one mare and bred this horse, or, you know, the trainer who claimed the horse 6 months ago pointing for Maryland Million. There's just some great stories, and we have 11 of them. You know, it's not just one race. All day long you hear these really good stories.
Yeah, there's so many people that are, you know, small operations, and this is their day to shine. It's their Breeders' Cup type day, because it's tough to make it on the big stage, but this is a big deal in Maryland, and it's great for the farms, and especially the small owners and breeders that don't get a chance to participate in Saturday racing, as the late Jimmy Kilroe used to like to call it.
Yeah, it's Maryland's day, and you're right. A lot of people, it's their Preakness, and they point for it, and they, you know, we have a full house. We have, 20,000 fans. We have, the feel is really good. It's a big event day. It's not just another stakes day. And it's regional. It's a regional Maryland event. There's no doubt about that. I mean, but that's what we're celebrating, and we know that.
Cricket, I threw out the statistic at the beginning of the interview talking about the fact that there are now 21 other states, including Canada, by the way, that have special racing days modeled in part after what we've seen with the Maryland Million program. As somebody who's been involved with the Maryland Million from the very beginning, what does that mean?
Well, I think it's great because it gives those states a chance to celebrate their breeding industry or horses that were bred or foaled in their state. I think that gets lost a little bit, the production of the horses. I love trainers, and boy, do we need owners, but the owners have to get the horses somewhere. And I think sometimes there's a little disconnect about how much work it takes to get, to breed horses and get good horses. Obviously, when you breed a horse, everybody hopes their horse is a good horse, but you want to give the people a chance to shine in that state. And in most states, the breeding industries are sort of the bedrock. They preserve the land. You have beautiful farms. It's an agricultural industry. We tell our legislators all the time, we're here, we're part of agriculture. We buy product from all the farmers that own farms, and our horse farms are some of the most beautiful agricultural land in the state, and I think that's true everywhere.
Well, if you think that racing in the Maryland Million is a chip shot for a horse that may potentially be a future Hall of Famer, if you're that good, you think, well, I can go to the Maryland Million and I can pick up some easy purse money. Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say, because you look back on the history of this event, two future Hall of Famers safely kept an open mind, both contested the Maryland Million. Neither won.
They did.
How
yeah, exactly. They did. You're right. You're right. It's a great place to showcase that kind of talent and preview it. And sometimes they get beaten. We've got good horses here in Maryland.
Yeah, you certainly do. And that program has been really on the rise in large part because of your efforts, Cricket. And can't thank you enough for what you do to support us here on the network. And anything we can do to help you here moving forward, please let us know. All the best with this Maryland Million Day. Go enjoy it. You certainly deserve it.
Well, thanks. You've been a good friend, and I appreciate taking the time to talk to me this morning. And, we'll hope everybody's watching or listening to you this afternoon if they're not here at Laurel.
Yeah, again, that coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. Listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Cricket Goodall, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. We tell you every week that Embrace the Race is the official apparel of horse racing and the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Hey, one other factoid here, JT, surrounding this Maryland Million. This is the, I'm going to call it the Kurt Becker fact of the morning, okay? You're going to love this one.
Oh, I'm a little scared
I'm going
now.
To read it verbatim. The largest hand-blown crystal bowl ever produced by the famed Waterford Company was the original Maryland Million trophy. Measures 14 inches.
Yes. Hand-blown is really kind of not accurate because it's mouth blown. It's made by hand,
well, why
but
do they
it's
call
mouth
it blown. Hand blown.
I don't know why whoever wrote that doesn't really know a lot about glass, evidently.
All right, well, we'll have to, we're going to have to get Kurt Becker to weigh in on this and let us know which.
Well, if he can.
I mean, he's a collector.
Well, I don't even want to
so
say that.
Bring it up.
If he can blow something by hand, then I'd like to see it.
I didn't know Kurt was Italian.
Huh?
I didn't know Kurt was Italian.
He's not Italian. He's, I don't know, German or something.
No,
from
because
Altamont,
only,
Illinois.
Yes.
When Italians put their hands out of their pockets, you know that you might get blown.
Blown away.
That's it. Just the way we operate.
You might never live to see another crystal bowl. All right, we're going to get to another break. It's time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington. And then we're back to visit with the Godfather from the Lexus Store. We'll hear more from him next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who outdid his sire and then some in winning the Belmont Stakes, and in so doing wrapped up racing's Triple Crown in the same year the Boston Red Sox won the American League pennant, with the likes of the Splendid Splinter and the Little Professor Ted Williams, and Dominic DiMaggio, for those of you among the uninitiated. Even most wary, hard-bitten skeptics of this particular thoroughbred had to finally admit that there was nothing in sight to give him a tussle after a relatively easy win in the Belmont Stakes to nail down the final leg of the Triple Crown, only the seventh horse in its revered history to have done so. The Belmont run on Saturday, June 1st of that year, removed the last obstacle to his complete domination of his age division. He won the 12-furlong affair with ease under a supremely confident ride by Warren Mertens, and if there were any doubts or shreds of excuse by his opponents, the arguability of them dissipated like an early morning fog in the glowing sun. This was some kind of racehorse indeed. You know, in racing, nothing surprises. The 3-year-old campaign of the horse nicknamed the Clubfoot Comet was indeed poignantly illustrative of that axiom. He had been accorded not the slightest consideration by the supposedly in-the-knowers in regard to his chances in the Derby. But he cantered off to a virtually uncontested 8-length score in an eye-popping performance. 1 week later, he'd overcome some bad racing luck and some questionable handling as well, and coming home a winner in a run for the Black-Eyed Susans, the Preakness, by a bare neck. The surprising thing was that his performance in the latter event had been so singularly unimpressive to many, he was regarded only moderately at best as a candidate to culminate his campaign by winning the Belmont. Well, all he did was dispel any last vestiges of dubiousness by racing to a victory that, in its own way, was even more decisive than his Derby score. Old-timers and youthful aficionados alike now realized, sit up and take notice time for this horse. If this great thoroughbred had any shortcoming, it was that aesthetically he was nondescript at best. Many often said the best thing about him was the caliber of his competition. That was as blatantly demeaning as tell a young lady she has as much class as a telephone pole. He never looked pretty. He was blue-collar, lunch-pail, punch-the-clock type, who knew what he had to do, and he did it. He wasn't the object of adulation and excitement because of his appearance. No, indeed. That came as a result of his ability to do what he was born to do, run. And run he could. Oh, yes, his competitors were not noteworthy, to be sure. Not because they actually were, but rather because he made them look that way by his ability. His sire, Bull Venture, bowed a tendon after the Preakness and could not win the final leg of the Triple Crown, although he was as game as a thoroughbred could be. This horse, with a slight disfigurement in one of his forelegs, had no trouble, other than the aforementioned problems in the Preakness, in nailing down each of racing's jewels of the Triple Crown. His sire, Bull Venture, had won a marvelous Derby in closing from 11th place to whip Brevity, and then had barely outlasted Granville to win the Preakness. Although there may not have been any Brevities or Granvilles to challenge our subject for this piece, there can be absolutely no denying he outdid his illustrious sire and joined Sir Barton, Gallant Fox, Omaha, War Admiral, Whirlaway, and Count Fleet as members of a very select company, Triple Crown winners. That marvelous thoroughbred who went on to become an outstanding handicap horse was none other than Assault, affectionately named the Clubfoot Comet.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington, on Main Street right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Rail Trip at bay, and Tapazar a sterling performance today.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler. At stud, Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Dearest has taken a slight lead here after a 44 and 4.5 mile. Dearest on the outside, taking over from Lucy and Ethel, who battles on. Lucy and Ethel not done yet. On the outside is Dearest. These two continue to duke it out. Kanaya's third. Karina's fourth. And on the outside of them, off the tracks, is coming late. But it's Lucy and Ethel and Dearest. And Lucy and Ethel is still unbeaten. Dearest was second. And closing late was Tuck Reese for third. And is close for fourth in a final time of 1 minute 9.33 seconds. A very fast field of fillies. Lucy and Ethel, the quickest of them all.
That's Larry Colmus with the call of the Prioress at Saratoga earlier this summer, and Lucy and Ethel remaining perfect in that effort. We'll see her later this afternoon in the 18th running of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland. She's 9-2 on the morning line. A very contentious field of 12 is set to go in that one. Post time 5:30 Eastern. We're going to talk about it with John Gasper in the second half of the program. He'll tell you who he likes in that race. The Pontiff will share his selections. We'll also talk about the Maryland Million Classic. And boy, going to be a great afternoon of racing, and we can't wait to bring it your way right here on HRRN. Now, before we get to the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, to tell you a little bit more about what's happening at the Lexus store of Lexington, let's remind you that with just 13 days to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, you're going to want to make sure that you visit our website, horseracingradio.net. We will be on site to bring you live coverage all the way through the entire week. The coverage kicks off on Monday morning with a special Breakfast at Breeders' Cup program. Now, this is going to be streamed on the Breeders' Cup website. It's going to be streamed at santaanita.com and at horseracingradio.net. It's a video show from 7 to 10 Pacific time Monday morning. On Tuesday, we're back with the same program. Wednesday, Thursday, the same thing. And that also includes our Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. And then we wrap it all up Friday and Saturday with our coverage of the Breeders' Cup World Championships, the 10th consecutive year. We'll bring you that exclusive coverage. And this year, all presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org.
Yeah, absolutely. Hence me sporting my Barbados jacket this morning.
We need to tweet out a picture of that. We do. Tony painted the picture at the beginning of the program. Now we need to tweet out a picture.
All right. We can do that. Before the end of the show, we'll get that out.
Hashtag Barbados.
Yeah.
Hashtag
I'm like
paradise.
A billboard. Well, right?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but since you brought it up.
Yeah, and just to clarify what you said, we're going to be doing those shows all week long leading into the Breeders' Cup. It's not the same show every day. It's the same format, but it's going to be a different show every day.
We hope.
And we hope. And, yeah, hopefully we don't have to replay. Our lead-in shows, I think, are the most exciting shows we do all year because you never know what's going to happen. We have trainers walking by. We grab them. They come up to us like Bob Baffert and put the headsets on. And you know, you never know what's going to come out of somebody's mouth when it's live like that in the mornings. Or everybody's loose and you know, getting excited for the big day. So those shows to me are awesome because they're off the cuff and they're live. And we're also going to feature some workouts this year. Jeff Bloom and I are going to be out there before our regular show starts, and we're going to be covering workouts and talking to some people. So it's going to be very exciting week for everybody.
And now they're putting us all on camera,
yeah,
which is a huge risk for Santa Anita and Breeders' Cup to be throwing us out on camera.
Yeah, by the way,
we have to take a shower before we go out there now in the morning.
I'm going to need two bags because I have to do wardrobe now.
Oh. Man, aren't you gold medallion yet? Can't you check two for
no.
free?
No, you know, I love Delta, but they said I need to spend $59 more in order to get on my medallion thing.
Fly up to the Cubs game.
I would just send them $59. I don't really, you know, I don't need to go anywhere. That's kind of cheese ball if you ask me. So,
what do you think, Godfather?
Well, I'm wondering how much he would charge me for a Lexus logo on the back of that jacket there.
For you, I would give it to you.
Oh, I mean, because there's enough space back there.
Oh, there's plenty, logo plenty of space.
That's
yeah.
my man, Jude.
You look like NASCAR pretty soon.
Yeah, right. he does look like he's in the pits.
Yeah, that's right. I've been like that my whole life.
I have to tell you, a few years ago, Tony, I walked into the Lexus store, and you and I sat down, and your son, Kiki, mm-hmm. the kid, as we like to call him, we all sat down. I purchased an RX, Lexus RX, which is a small SUV. It still rides like the first day I got it. It's absolutely beautiful. A bit of an issue, though. When I take it deer hunting and I'm pulling the four-wheeler behind it doesn't play too well.
How much is the weight the behind
It's a
that?
Luxury car. It's not designed for off-roading.
I'm a luxury deer hunter.
Okay. That car is geared to tow at least 3,500 pounds.
Right.
So I don't know how much you're pulling back
no,
there.
Trust me. I didn't put the
hitch. It's not 3,500 pounds of deer, I can tell you that much. I've seen his results. His chart looks like Zippy Chippy.
Well, we have to come up with an Indian name for him.
How about Zippy Chippy?
Zippy Chippy Penna.
Yeah.
You wanted me to do a promo with Jude for our upcoming coverage where he stands there with an apple on
with
his head.
With an apple? Yeah, but I think we're going to use a pumpkin.
Just because I'm Swiss, that's why they chose
What was your line? You said the best thing I could do was miss.
Was miss.
So Jude is a Swiss name?
No, Jude is actually...
Feld is the Swiss name.
Well, Feld is German. My mother's father was from Switzerland. His name was Wick.
Wick.
Wick, W-I-C-K.
Was he in the candle business or anything?
No, he was in the cheese business.
Okay.
He was also, him and his brothers were the first guys to import a Swiss embroidery machine to the United States. Their business was making patches, you know, like for police departments schools, and they had this huge factory where they made patches. They in California, they were like the only game in town.
They went to California. There's nobody. There were no people from Switzerland and Germany in California.
Well, there was a few.
You sure he wasn't from New York?
When he came to the United States, he originally moved to Wisconsin, to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
He always picked losers.
And I know. how he met my grandmother was he played soccer for Real Madrid.
There you go. There's the winner.
Yeah. What do you have against Kenosha, right Wisconsin?
And she was...
Yeah, I mean...
do we have any listeners there?
We're big in Kenosha. Right.
Yeah. There's 14 people in Kenosha.
Man, you know, he probably went to Kenosha because it reminded him of Switzerland, or somebody might have told him it's like Switzerland.
I'm sure he must have ended up in Brooklyn because I remember talking to a guy one day. He says, look, if you need patches, I got a few good deals for you. I got some that maybe the guy didn't pick up. I give you a good deal. I said, but it has somebody else's name on it.
Yeah, right.
He said, but that's why it's a good deal.
We used to love them when we were kids. My grandmother would sew them on jackets and stuff.
See? Already she was sewing on the jacket.
Yeah, she was a great seamstress.
How much did she charge for that?
My grandmother? Yeah. She never charges the dime.
No, not for you, but for the customer.
She didn't do that for the customer. She only did it for us when we were kids.
He would have been successful. He would have brought the whole family in.
Yeah.
That's the way we do it.
The godfather knows a thing or two about bringing the family.
We bring the family business.
Speaking of that, our HRN nation has become like our family over the years,
yes,
right? See how I segued into that? Godfather, when they come in to see you at the Lexus store of Lexington, how many times over the past decade or so have people come in and said, I want to talk to the Godfather?
Quite a few. And it has really confused my receptionists. When they come in and they ask for the Godfather.
Don't they play the music and everything?
And you know what's hysterical is that I usually get all the strange phone calls or somebody doesn't know who is speaking to who. The receptionists always get to me. And the first time that happened, that was a few years ago, and she calls, she says, Tony, yeah, I have a customer up here, and he just came in. He's looking for the Godfather. You know anything about that? I said, yeah, that's me. I'll be right out there. and she almost like screamed.
You have had more people that listen to this program come in and mention that they want to talk to the Godfather. That's, I don't know how we came up with that years ago, but you just struck me as somebody who represented yourself like the Godfather.
Well,
and you are the Godfather of the Lexus store. And the Lexus store associated with the horse business here in Kentucky, not just with the Lexus Raven Run.
Right.
You have a Keeneland store there at the Lexus store.
And we cater to the horse industry, seriously. And a lot of people, if you're in the horse industry, you like to talk about horses. All right. So that was one of the things that you and Pete had come up with. So if they come in and they ask for me, that's generally what we're going to do. And then we start talking about the Lexus car, the finest automobiles on the market. But we start talking about horses first. But it's hysterical when people come in and they feel comfortable. They really and truly do feel comfortable about, you have a friend. And they don't think that I'm nuts because I'm in the horse business, because he's nuts too. All right? But everybody thinks that you're nuts. You're not nuts. You fall in love with this animal. I'm looking at this little statue here of this horse. Okay? Not you, Jude. All right. It's the horse.
Seabiscuit.
Right? Seabiscuit. All right. But I mean, and the stories and the people that are in the industry, I mean, they're super. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and you never know who walks in the store. But Lexus has been just wonderful, and they've responded to it fantastically. You know, I mean, our corporate ownership, of course, is Toyota, and we do sponsor the Bluegrass Stakes in the spring. It's a pretty nice race, and we put up $1 million for that. So that's why I wanted to have a Lexus race in the fall. So that was the concept. But the marriage that we had here between Lexus with our organization and HRRN has been just fabulous. It really and truly has. It's been great.
Well, Godfather, you have a pick in today's Raven Run.
Yes, I
do.
You
told us the minute you walked in the door. It was one of the first things you said when you came into our studio this morning.
Well, I'm a hunch player. It's terrible. And there's a horse that came up from Florida, Mr. Marty Wolfson's horse. And Marty brought his own jockey with him, Tyler Gaffleone, who's one of the leading jocks down there. I don't think he came in to sniff the air in Kentucky. So I think he's going to be trying to run really, really good. And the reason I'm a hunch player,
the name of the horse, by the way, Curlin's Approval.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to
Curlin's
say that. I just look for, when I tell people a horse, just look for Marty Wolfson's name on the program. But I was just so good to say something. Part of the Wolfson family, Mr. Wolfson owned Harborview Farm. And that was part of the farm that I later owned down in Ocala, Florida, which was Coventry Farm. And a horse by name of Affirm was raised in my fields. And when the old timers told me that, and I said, I'm going to be lucky. Well, guess what? I wasn't lucky. But it was nice to know that Affirm was raised in the fields of my farm. So.
Do you know anything about Happy Alter?
Do I know Happy? I know Happy because he trained for Fred Hooper. And Fred Hooper was one of the great, great. He was a Georgia road build. I knew Fred very, very well. I knew most
of
those guys.
Did you know that Happy was involved with Muhammad Ali?
No.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. I've known Happy for a long time. When I had Jock's books in Florida, of course, he trained his own horses at that time. And now he's kind of given them to Marty. And I think Dave Casson also has maybe a horse or two short. But if you noticed in the colors, his colors.
Okay.
Okay, I'll read them off the program here. Gold brown boxing gloves. Gold band on sleeves. He was involved with Muhammad when he was, before Muhammad was Muhammad.
When he was Cassius.
Yeah. And that's how he was in somehow involved in the fight game with him, probably financially, you know, as a backer.
Right.
But he was involved with him, and he's a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he is a really nice guy.
Well, he invented those barriers.
Bob's Barricades.
Right, that's his.
That's his wife's father did that.
Oh, I was told it was Happy.
Yeah, but there's about probably 10 million of them in Florida on the highways.
Yeah, that's when he decided to give up training.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, no,
10 million, and I know they got to cost more than a buck a piece.
Yeah. He wasn't doing
barricades. Yet. I'm sure you've probably either seen him or run into him.
Exactly.
One or two.
Exactly. But no, and Fred Hooper, did you ever know Fred?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Hooper was something else. Yeah. Mr. Hooper admitted when he passed away to being 105. He admitted to that. He had no birth certificate, apparently, whatever. But Fred Hooper was just...
Good thing he didn't run for president.
What a great guy.
You know, talk about a guy that was lucky. The first horse he ever owned won the Kentucky Derby.
Hoop Jr.
Yeah, so there's a guy that was dipped in luck, as they say.
Now, tell the rest of the story, what Al Carroll said to him.
Oh, I don't know that. Oh. I might have heard it, but go ahead, you tell
it. Al Carroll got off the horse, and Hooper was there at the... Churchill and Al Carroll said to him, "Mr. Hooper, this could probably be the worst thing that ever happened to you."
There's only one way to go from there.
Yeah, exactly.
But it really wasn't. I mean, Hooper had some unbelievable horses. I mean, Susan's Girl comes to mind, a horse that my brother Bob and I loved when we were kids, Quay's Quilt. Yeah. Quay's Quilt was one of the most beautiful fillies I have ever seen in my life. I mean, I can picture her in my head right now coming onto the track at Santa Anita, long legs, beautiful chestnut filly, just outstanding in a real runner.
And he had Trijet,
awesome grass horse.
Yeah,
he's still much better horse than he was a sire, but still an awesome grass horse.
And he had a horse by the name of Precisionist that he loved.
Yeah, that was a good horse too. But
he just fired blanks.
He was very, very fast horse.
Yeah, but Mr. Hooper was just—he was Mr. Hooper. That's all.
By the way, the voice you heard with the knowledge, the plethora of knowledge about Happy and his relationship with Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, John Gasper, he's going to join us in the second half of the program. He'll take a look at the Lexus Raven Run. We'll take a look at the Maryland Million Classic, and we'll talk about a couple of the Breeders' Cup divisions, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Juvenile Fillies, and the Distaff, which figures to be loaded at this point if it all holds together between now and the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Just 13 days, 5 hours, 31 minutes, and 54 seconds away. Godfather, always a delight to have you on board, my friend. And can't thank you enough. This relationship, as you said, has gone back more than a decade with HRN and Lexus Store of Lexington. And love you, brother. Thanks for everything.
I love you guys. And I tell you what, you have a special guest here today, because this man has forgotten more than all the so-called experts could ever remember. Believe me.
Beautiful. Tony Atiano, the Godfather, Lexus Store of Lexington. Go see him at the corner of New Circle and Liberty and tell him that the Baron told you to go in and say hello, and tell him that you heard him right here on the Equine Forum. We're back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg,
859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Bred for greatness and a brilliant grade one winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalucci Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warfront. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 Mile at Keeneland. Then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first four generations, Data Link is the perfect outcross option. His first weanlings turned heads, selling well above the stud fee. Data Link at Claiborne Farm.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Baron Pontiff, that's Penna and Fell, back with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And JT, if you remember, we spent the summer sharing a house with the announcer, Larry Colmus, in Saratoga this year, and we've done that the past couple of years. Well, Larry is somewhat of a wine aficionado, and I went from hating wine completely to, as Larry says, becoming somewhat of a wine snob, right? And we drank a lot of wine when we were in Saratoga. Well, for people that are in Kentucky and love wine, I'm going to tell you, I had a great experience. I went down to Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. It's just a short drive from Lexington. Lover's Leap, one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. It's absolutely beautiful. The scenery is spectacular. But the wine, you can stop in, you can get an educational wine tasting, or you can do what I absolutely love. You can kick back. You can relax on their porch. It's a wraparound porch, and you can look at the view. You can have a glass of their exceptional wine. I can tell you that their wines would also be the perfect fit for any of your farm parties, any of your company parties that you have coming up, especially as we edge closer to the holidays. All you have to do is give them a call. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, just a short drive from here. Stop by for a visit. Give them a call, 502-839-1299. That's 502-839-1299. And you won't be disappointed. It is simply spectacular. And I actually went to them and I said, hey, let me talk about your product on our radio show, because that's how much I think of their wine.
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. You'll have to send Colmus a bottle.
We brought a bottle to him. Enjoyed it. We brought a bottle to him up in Saratoga.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Couple of minutes left here. We're going to segue shortly into hour number two. John Gasper is in studio with us, and we're going to talk about the Raven Run. We'll talk about the Maryland Million Classic. JT, you can give your selections for the Classic, and then we'll talk about those Breeders' Cup divisions, the Juvenile Fillies, and, of course, that Distaff. One quick side note. After we finish here at 10 o'clock Eastern this morning, folks that are Spanish-speaking in our audience will want to head on over to hrrnenespanol.com, and they can listen to, I'm going to butcher it, Hablando de Abismo. Did I get it right? I think
yeah,
I got it right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Talking Racing with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Villama. They host that show every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 Eastern. It's on HRN in Espanol, all in Spanish. And by the way, the Breeders' Cup for the first time here on the network going to be provided in both English and Spanish when we head out there in a couple of weeks. You'll hear every Breeders' Cup race on HRN and HRRN in Espanol. And you can visit our website and listen live at 10 o'clock Eastern this morning, Hablando de Abismo.
Yeah, I was on John Englehart's show, Winning Ponies, earlier this week, and mentioned that, too, for everybody that's Spanish-speaking that would rather listen in Spanish.
How about the crew?
Some people that would listen to us would probably rather listen in Spanish.
Well, especially when you think about the crew that we're going to have involved with that coverage. Roberto Rodriguez, Eloy Villama, broadcasters, industry veterans, Ramon Dominguez, Hall of Fame jockey, coming to California to be part of that crew, and Jose Altuve will be there as well. No, Jose Arturo, sorry.
Jose Altuve, I'm going.
I knew I was going to do that.
We got the second baseman from the Houston Astros.
I kept wanting to call him Altuve.
Jose Altuve, Arturo. He was a Lexington legend.
Yeah.
Still a Lexington legend.
Jose Arturo is a legend in Venezuela. He is the Tom Durkin of Venezuela. And he's going to be there to call the races for us at Santa Anita. So there you go.
That's good. I'm glad we have a good announcer, but I'm disappointed Jose Altuve is not coming. Maybe we can get him too.
Yeah, that would be nice.
By the way, just want to mention real quick, we were in Barbados for the Sandy Lane Gold Cup. And the night before, we saw one of the trial races. Scurries, they call them.
Yeah,
little trial races, and a girl named Katie Clausen won one of those trial races. And yesterday, she won her first race at Keeneland, not her first race lifetime, but her first race at Keeneland.
Awesome
for Mr. Ramsey. So it was all she wore the Ramsey helmet, even though it wasn't Mr. Ramsey's horse that she won on in Barbados. She wore the Ramsey helmet cover, and yesterday she won one for Mr. Ramsey. So congratulations to her.
Absolutely, congratulations to her. All right, we're back with hour number two right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And California Chrome is threatening to turn this one into a romp. Victor Espinosa hasn't even thought about the stakes. One of the greatest performances you'll ever see. California Chrome in a canter.
It is Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer still coming. And here she comes from the outside. Holy Bobcats under the wire. City Dancer and Sweet Loretta together in the spinaway.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Amis Gizmo in front, but here comes Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Le Barou. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front, and Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
At the eight-hole, Songbird begins to stride away. Karina B. a second, Catherine Sophia laboring back in third. Here she is, folks. Just a magnificent blend of grace and power as she comes to the finish. Songbird, a picture of perfection.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on HRRN. Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Pope Jude Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. And want to extend a special welcome to everybody tuning in throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93. Everyone listening in Lexington, Louisville, and around the country on our affiliates. And everyone streaming us worldwide at horseracingradio.net. If you missed any portion of the first half of this show or any of our shows, head back to horseracingradio.net after we finish up, and you can listen to the podcast at your leisure. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. Well, I mentioned the big races coming up later today, both at Keeneland and at Laurel in Maryland. You have the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland. It goes as race 9, 5:30 Eastern. You also have 9 stakes races on that Maryland Million Day program at Laurel, including the Maryland Million Classic. That goes at 5:13 Eastern. You're going to hear both of those live with us this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time. Stream it worldwide, horseracingradio.net. Good day of racing, JT.
Yeah. We did 11 races on the stakes preview, the Express Bet stakes preview show yesterday, Anthony and I. It's also available on the website if you want to hear who we like. The races everywhere. Nice racing in New York, Maryland. Of course, got Keeneland going.
Yep.
So it's okay.
John Gasper going to handle the duties solo this morning for the second half of the program. Steve Castagnola, Michael Hernan, unable to make it in. So, Johnny, then there was one.
Sorry. Going to have to listen to me for a while. But
into every life, a little rain must fall, right?
Keep coming up with great stories like the Muhammad Ali one, then, you know, we'll stay tuned.
Yeah, Happy's a great guy, and wish him all the best today. And she has a real chance. There's no doubt about that, as we'll get into it here just in a few minutes.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the big race of the day at Keeneland, the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run, 7 furlongs on the main track. Should be a good day. I mentioned the temperature is going to be a bit cooler here today in the upper 50s, but main track should be fast. The turf should be firm, I would imagine, even though we had some rain yesterday.
Yeah, I would think so today. I think it's had enough. It'll get dry. I think it'll dry out enough today to where it'll be a little bit firmer. I don't know what they had it listed as yesterday, softer yielding, but they weren't kicking it up too bad, I didn't think, yesterday, just watching watching a couple of those turf races. But I want to give a shout-out, too, to Elizabeth Voss, who won the stake the other day. You know, her father, Tommy, was a great guy. And believe me, she's learned a lot from him because she knows what she's doing with a racehorse, believe me. And
yeah,
she also has the favorite today in the steeplechase up in Maryland. I think it is somewhere. I think it's in Maryland, or maybe I'm not sure. Maybe it's Pennsylvania. But
with
she
Sean
has the
Clancy
favorite today. Here. It's the horse that won the Turf Riders at Saratoga. Port Trer, I think his name is.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a horse that she had the year before, and he wasn't able to make the races at Saratoga. They'd send him over from Europe, and she ended up buying him for one of her clients, and he had a very good Saratoga. He finished third the first time, and then won the Grade One the second time. And yeah, Elizabeth Voss, just a fine trainer. I don't know how that horse paid $20 the other day. It was fantastic. It's my wife came home from Town and Country Farm, and I'm on the couch screaming at the television. She goes, "You never root." I said, "Well, this horse I made a little bet on, and it's Elizabeth Voss's horse." She goes, "Oh, okay." And it was a great win for Elizabeth too, because her father had won that race like 7 or 8 years previous. So
That awesome race, by the way, is in Virginia today.
Virginia?
It's the International Gold Cup.
Okay,
in Virginia. Yeah. Good and, program.
Yeah.
33rd which, annual International
Elizabeth
Gold
was
Cup.
She was the sales, head of the sales for Three Chimneys for a long time. That's where I first met her. And then
Renown was the horse that won this week, right? That was his name, Renown?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was. And he came off a win at Laurel in his previous race.
Right.
And that jock, and Angel Cruz, came in. He's 2 for 2 here. He might, you know, just take up residency here now.
So. Yeah, Keeneland, very, very good to him.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
And that filly that we'll talk about, I guess, a little bit later with that filly that he won for Graham, you know, in the Alcibiades. I mean, she looked like a 3-year-old in the paddock. I don't know whether you guys saw her or not, but, I mean, she was just outstanding looking filly in there.
How about the meet Graham Motion has had? Was it 4 graded stakes victories so far at Keeneland?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, and his horses, for whatever reason, his horses always look good. But I mean, this meet, they just like in the paddock, especially, they stand out like sore thumbs. He ran a maiden, a 3-year-old maiden the other night, and I wasn't at Keeneland. I was watching on television, and this horse just looked spectacular. And of course, wins like an international good thing, 3-1 or something. But you know, I mean, for the guy's just, you know, he's in rarefied air right now.
Yeah, he is.
Won the stakes yesterday.
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah,
I think that guy's going to be all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
Yeah, I don't know how many he'll have for the I think he took a string to Santa Anita, didn't he, for the winter?
Well, he had a few there last year, and I think, he with the Breeders' Cup, I think there's some horses there getting ready for.
Yeah, I don't know if he's, run anything yet out there or not, but I think I read somewhere where he wanted to take some horses out there for the winter, and so he'll make his presence felt out there also, I'm sure.
Well, Johnny, we're going to look at the Grade 2 Raven Run. We will then take a look at the Maryland Million Classic. JT, you'll give your selections there, my friend, and then we'll segue into the next segment, which will be our discussion of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Juvenile Fillies, and then the Distaff as we edge closer to that 10 o'clock Eastern time here this morning for you on the Equine Forum. Johnny, let's start with the Raven Run. 7 furlongs, field of 12, very good field of 12 set to go, and a really well-balanced field, too.
It really is, and I'd be surprised in here if the favorite goes off less than 3-1. I think there's about probably 5 or 6 horses in here that if they get the right, if they get the right trip and things fall into place for them, that they could win. Let's start with the one horse, Covey Trace, trained by Bill Denzik, who trains there in Louisville. And a pretty good golfer, by the way, too, Bill is.
Denzik?
Yeah, he sure is. Or used to be. I don't think he probably doesn't do much anymore. But anyway, he's got a filly by Stevie Wonderboy, bred by Brereton Jones here in Kentucky, of course. And she won a stake at Charlestown, graded stake at Charlestown, actually, her last start. And she's won 3 out of her last 4 and ran a really, really big number on the sheets that last time out. Maybe a little bit too big. She's 1-for-1 at the distance, going 7/8. Of course, that's at Charlestown around 3 turns. So I believe that's 3
didn't,
turns.
Didn't last year's Raven Run winner, Sarah Siss, didn't she win that race at Charlestown too?
She could have. Could have.
Seems like she did.
I know she's in one of the sales too, either Keeneland or I think
Fasig.
Okay, one of the two. Yeah. But anyway, but she ran a very big race. Brian Hernandez will ride again, ride her today, and has ridden her in the past and done very well on her. So she's probably might be compromised a bit by the post position being on number one. But again, never know. It looks like the last couple of days anyway, and the track's obviously been kind of muddy, but you couldn't get too far back to make big runs. But maybe that'll change today with it being dried out a little bit.
By the way, I'm sorry. Sarah Siss did run in the Charlestown Oaks last year before winning the Raven Run, but she was 6th in the Charlestown Oaks. Okay. Came back and turned it around in the Raven Run.
Okay. Thank you very much for that information.
I just wanted
for that
to
useless give information.
You that, okay. Absolutely nothing to this year's
Okay. All right.
Moving on.
Okay. Dale Romans has the 2-horse Mock and Do It. She's only won 1 race. But she's also stakes graded grade 2 stakes place in the Black Eyed Susan this spring. She seems to run. I mean, she runs really well. I mean, she runs hard. She just doesn't seem to want to win very much. But she's a big price at 12-1. Channing Hill will ride her today. It looks like for the first time. Inside pose probably has some somewhat tactical speed. Again, we'll see how it sets up.
Dale Romans has never won the Raven Run.
Has never won it, okay.
Okay. Do with that what you will, but okay. Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
All right, so that means nothing.
another useless piece of information.
Right. The 4-horse, Lucy and Ethel, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding this young lady, and the trainers have been somewhat controversial in the past. Tom Amos has taken over the duties of training here recently. She's been training here at Keeneland. She's only had 1 race since January. And of course that was the Prioress up in New York, which she went to the front and just kept on going and paid a handsome $22 or 22-1. Jose Lascano has ridden her rode her last time out. Corey Lannery will ride her today. She's in post number 4. She's fast on top of fast. So I would say that you may look for her pretty close to the lead, if not on the lead. There is some other speed in this race, but she is undefeated, 4 starts, has done absolutely nothing wrong. And I mean, she's certainly one of the horses to beat for sure, and she's 9-2, a handsome 9-2 price on the program in there. Number 5, Southern Girl, Larry Jones. This one here was purchased as a yearling at Keeneland for $775,000. She's by Tappet. We know all about Tappet. He's about as good as he can hope for. Owned by Fox Hill Farms, Rick Porter. Songbird, of course. Songbird owns is one of his fillies, and everybody knows about her. She's coming off of 3 straight wins. It looks like, and there, she's 3-for-3 this year. Actually, she looks like last October here, she was 3rd and then had a long layoff until July. So obviously something went wrong there, and they figured it out. And she, if you notice, her first start back this year was an A other than, and she won it. Then she skipped a condition and went to a non-winners of 3 instead of a non-winners of 2. And she won that very easily, and then came back in a little $75,000 stake at Laurel, and she took care of business in there also. Give her a big chance in here, a real big chance. I think that the race might set up well for her if Florent Guerou rides her today, and I've got confidence in him that he'll work out a trip. She'll probably be somewhere near the lead, but not on the lead, somewhere maybe 3-4 lengths back. And I think she's going to have a big, big chance today at 12-1.
Is she your top pick?
She's going to be, I don't know if she's my top pick, but she's going to be definitely second pick, if not my top pick.
Give me your top couple in here, John. Just in the interest of time, I want to make sure that we have enough time for the Maryland Million and then the Breeders' Cup races. Give me your top few in here.
Okay, well, I'm going to go, again, let's go down to the Godfather's horse there, Curlin's Approval. That's Marty Wilson's horse.
Yep.
She's run 2 terrific races her last start at Gulfstream. If that form holds up here, she's got a lot of speed, too. She's drawn number 8, so she's drawn outside. She'll be in a good spot. Bringing a rider with her, Tyler Gaffalone, who's done great down there. I give her probably the best chance to win, in my opinion.
8-1.
8-1. There's a couple more in here also. Sophie Song, Todd Pletcher's horse, the 10. She drew outside, and if she can just stalk, and she was in the same race in that Charlestown race and just got beat a neck, but came on. And, I think that, being 7/8 around 1 turn here is going to be a lot better for her. And, Robbie Alvarado's on fire right now. I mean, he's been riding great. So if he can just get a stalking trip, they're taking the blinkers off of her too, which is, that should give her a better chance to settle, which is exactly what they need, because Lightstream, the bottom horse, who's the favorite, is another filly that could set up very well for her. She's going to get the same trip as Sophia's Song. Julian Leperu rides her for Brian Lynch. And, of course, she just got beat in the test or last start and ran a huge race up there. And, again, she's the program favorite. So, I mean, it depends on the pace and how this thing sets up. But I think that Happy's horse is going to have a big chance if she can just get a decent pace and doesn't have to burn down there in 44 or 45-1 or something like that. I think she's got a big chance. Southern Girl, the 5 horse, like I say, is another one that is going to come running. And Curlin's, and Sophia's Song, Lightstream. Those are the 4, I think, to me. Lucy and Ethel is you can't knock her, but I just don't know if there's so much speed in there. I just don't know if that's going to be conducive to her. Maybe she's better than them rest.
Well, it's a good race to take a shot at. Maybe a horse has got a little bit of a price in there, and we'll see how that plays out. Again, that race coming up 5:30 Eastern time this afternoon, the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run. Our coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time. JT, how about the Maryland Million Classic? How'd you see that race shaping up? That's the other race that we'll have on that coverage later today.
Yeah, the Maryland Million Classic really features a couple of horses that...
Defending champ.
The defending champ and... who's the other horse here? that
oh, that other horse.
Well, you got so many races going on, I got to find my PPs. Just Jack and Flash McCall are two horses that, you know, look pretty salty in there. Just Jack's 9-5, Flash McCall is 2-1, and Admiral's War Chest, who is the defending champion, is 9-2. I mean, these are the three horses that, you know, kind of looks like they're going to dominate the race. Just Jack won last time out in the mud by Great Notion out of a Haymaker mare, not really bred to go long at all, and just really looked great winning the mile in the 16th race. Run long twice, one on the turf, one on the dirt, run bang up races both times. Now 9-5 is maybe a little sketchy on this horse going a mile and an eighth, but certainly can't knock the talent there. Flash McCall is not a win machine. Run second a lot, two wins in six places in 12 lifetime starts. But he's a Country Life Farm entry, and by Frisian Fire out of a Crypto Clearance mare, might really kind of fancy the mile and an eighth. His running style looks like that's going to hit him right in the head. So I think you got to consider him. Admiral's War Chest comes off a wire-to-wire victory at Delaware on September 1st. And, you know, this horse, he seems to like Laurel. Two wins, a place, and five shows in nine starts over the track. So those are the three that I think you have to really consider. But, you know, you can put a slice of paper between all of them. And I would really look at the board and try to find who's going to be the value play amongst those three. You know, Just Jack at 9-5 is not probably the greatest bet of all time. But I don't know. What do you think, John?
I tell you the truth, I didn't look at it that closely. I was listening to you guys earlier on the thing, and you know, just I was just, I'm like,
box
you.
Them think, all, box no, them all, no, box no, them all no, up. You can't no, lose not. $2 to win on every single horse.
No,
you can't lose.
can't lose. I like Trombetta's horse, probably Flash McCall. He's 2-1, but I like him probably as well as anybody.
Is there an HRN bet back today?
There is, as a matter of fact. It's on the Lexus Raven Run.
All right.
Yeah, so because of the fact that the Maryland Million Classic will be run before the Raven Run this afternoon, 5:13.
I got you.
Raven Run, 5:30. So 5 o'clock Eastern is when that
comes. It's also, I think it was raining up there yesterday. Yeah. When I was watching the races, it was starting to rain, so I don't know how much they got, but that may...
Yeah, that could have an effect. We probably should have asked Cricket what the weather was like. People that are running big events, they don't like to talk about the weather.
No, yeah.
It's always sunny here
in
Maryland.
We can Google it. All right, it is time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, how about this one? China Horse Club buys into California Chrome. That's right, the China Horse Club has become the latest ownership group to buy a share of 2014 Horse of the Year California Chrome. Frank Taylor, Vice President of Boarding Operations for co-owner TaylorMade, confirmed that announcement October 21st. TaylorMade partnered with majority owner Perry Martin and bought into California Chrome last summer. And according to Taylor, the farm has retained 11 shares in the Son of Lucky Pulpit, with approximately 15 to 20 other shareholders coming on board, including the China Horse Club. And that is your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. Blood Horse Magazine is the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, news, and more. If you are not reading Blood Horse, well, don't miss another issue. Sign up today at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. All right, we'll get to a break. We'll come back and take a look at some of the Breeders' Cup divisions, including the Juvenile Fillies, and the Breeders' Cup Distaff. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti,
The 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million is now a classic producing sire with his first crop.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julianne Leparoux. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front. And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
In addition to Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs, Gio Ponti is also represented by exciting Grade 1 winner Dray Fong.
Closing on the outside, then Summer Revolution and Mind Your Biscuits. Dray Fong rolls home in the King's Bishop.
And Castleton Lion Stallion Justin Phillip retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings enter the sales ring this year. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races for the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders Classics on Saturday, October 8th. 9 races worth more than $1.1 million, headlined by the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic. Don't miss out on the excitement of the premier night of West Virginia bred racing, as the best horses the Mountain State has to offer will take center stage. First post time is at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's the 30th running of the West Virginia Breeders Classics, right here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Mark your calendar for the inaugural Spendthrift Stallion Stakes October 30th at Churchill Downs. Part of Churchill's Stars of Tomorrow program, the $300,000 Spendthrift Stallion Stakes will be contested at 7 furlongs on the main track and is exclusive to any Spendthrift sired two-year-old anywhere in North America, with half of the purse being distributed to the owners of the placed horses and the other half given to the breeders of the first through fourth place finishers. Don't miss the inaugural running of the Spendthrift Stallion Stakes, October 30th at Churchill Downs.
Racing fans, the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita are now less than 2 weeks away, and with the brilliant undefeated Songbird set to take on fellow Eclipse Award winners Beholder and Stellar Wind in the $2 million distaff on Friday, November 4th, this year's Breeders' Cup Day 1 could be the best in Breeders' Cup history. On Saturday, November 5th, superstar California Chrome takes on the likes of Traverse Stakes winner Arrogate as they head the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Go to BreedersCup.com and make your reservation. Now, Santa Anita, proud host of the Breeders' Cup World Championships in November.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Ladies' Day and Mike Lezzi running away here. Ladies' Day looking good under the wire, drawing away by about 7.
Ladies' Day, the 2-year-old daughter of Darley Stallion Bernardini, became his 6th TDN Rising Star of 2016 when she broke her maiden at Belmont on October 16th. And that promising debut makes Ladies' Day your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and the Sales Ring Smash. Bernardini has had 5 juvenile Grade 1 winners since 2010, more than any other U.S. stallion. Danzig is the only stallion ever to have more Grade 1 winning juveniles in his first 6 crops to race. Bernardini's 13 Grade 1 winners to date include Cavorting, Alpha to Honor and Serve, Stay Thirsty, and Rachel's Valentina. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Songbird comes off the far turn with the advantage by 4 lengths. Mike Smith has not asked her for a thing. Meanwhile, John Velasquez getting after Rachel's Valentina, begging her to wake up and respond. Nickname is in third, and Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole. Has the lead by 6. Rachel's Valentina is in second. But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird. It is all Songbird. Mike Smith aboard, crushing the field. Rachel's Valentina was home second. Dothraki Queen made a late run to third. And then Nickname was fourth. 1:42.35.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. Special guest handicapper John Gasper with you in our Lexington studios. Kurt Becker with the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. and Phasic Tipton sales graduate Songbird dominating that race. She has yet to taste defeat. She's going to be among the favorites, if not the favorite, in this year's Breeders' Cup Distaff as she takes on the older fillies and mares for the very first time, and we'll see if she can pull off that victory. That Distaff will come your way on November 4th. Of course, November 5th will bring you all the action of Breeders' Cup Saturday. You'll hear both days exclusively with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network and in Spanish at hrnenespanol.com. And don't forget, when you're on site at the Breeders' Cup, stop by one of our black and gold kiosks, which are located inside each of the admission gates at Santa Anita, and pick up your free live sports radio. All you have to do is register to win a free trip to Barbados, and we'll give you a free radio that you can listen to all the coverage Friday and Saturday. All of our coverage of Breeders' Cup presented by visitbarbados.org.
Absolutely. Nothing better than that. Breeders' Cup in Barbados.
By the way, I mentioned that Songbird, a graduate of the Phasic Tipton sale, she came out of that Phasic Tipton Saratoga sale, which has always been so spectacular. But don't forget that on Monday, this coming Monday, you can check out the Phasic Tipton October sale right here in Lexington, Kentucky. It's your last chance to buy yearlings here in 2016. Altogether, 1,250 yearlings have been cataloged, and grads have won or placed in 191 stakes races in 2016. Think about that. Plus, since September 1st, October grads have won 12 stakes races, including greatest stakes winners Free Rose, Karen, Irish Jasper, La Coronelle, and Calgary Cat. And then you look back on some of the other graduates that we've seen come out of that sale. You're looking at More Spirit, Interpol, Street Fancy, Bird at the Wire, and, of course, Big Brown, Mind That Bird. Boy, one heck of a roster if you look at those grads coming out of that October sale.
Yeah, La Coronelle. Wouldn't want to trade places with anybody, huh?
That thing used to be a one-day sale, then it was two, now it's three. It's gotten really big, you know, it's gotten popular.
Each day kicking off at 10 a.m. Eastern here in Lexington. All right, Johnny, we heard the rejoin clip of Songbird winning last year's Juvenile Fillies. Let's take a look at what we might see in this year's Juvenile Fillies. And as always, a rock-solid lineup of two-year-old girls set to go.
Yeah, and, you know, most of them have run maybe three times, four times, something like that. Not too many of them run more than that. Well, okay. So there's still young horses that are developing which is always intriguing to me. I've always, you know, the two-year-old races to me are always the most fun to watch, I think. And horses can all of a sudden become stars, you know, and this is the time of year where they really change too in the fall. So, but there's several of these horses here. You know, I want to start with Grand Motion's horse, Dancing Rags. I thought, like I said, she was just spectacular. I thought the other day in the Alcibiades here, she looks the part. She was first time Lasix the other day, and I was just all in on her. I mean, I think she's just getting better and better, and like we said, Graham, you know, he's doing everything right now. Do you think that that's like some of the California horses? Would you give them an edge, Jude? Would you think they'd have an edge by being out there now or being out there, especially with the weather changing here?
Yeah,
the
heat, you know, is something to deal with. It's one of the reasons that the Euros sometimes are concerned about going to California. You know, it's starting to get pretty cool here in the mornings, and when the horses get out there, I mean, I would probably try to get them out there as fast as I could, but a lot of trainers don't like to do that.
I don't think there's any doubt it's a definite home field advantage for the horses that are based on the West Coast. You think about even the horses that come east, they don't typically fare all that well when they head out to Santa Anita.
Yeah, and you know, like a lot of the horses are up at Saratoga, like Sweet Loretta, who's arguably one of the best, if not the best filly in the field, at least the most accomplished.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's at Saratoga, so we know the weather in Saratoga is a little chilly in the mornings and has been for quite a while. So now for her to ship from New York to California and a few days rest, she might get a little sweaty when she gets out there. It takes a while to get acclimated. We know that it's very tough for professional athletes to go from the East Coast to the West Coast. You know, and it's got to be the same for the horses. The DNA is very close. So I think you're right. I think it's somewhat of a concern. But my East Coast bias is kicking in all as it usually does. I mean, I just think that the racing at Saratoga is the toughest two-year-old racing in the world. So,
well, I think they're, I think you're in a way you're right, because you know in California, the horses that are out there, where at Saratoga they come from everywhere. You know, they come from all over. Here it's come from Kentucky, they come from Maryland and Delaware and you know wherever, and so you get such a mixture of really good horses, and of course everybody's kind of pointing for that too, so they're bringing their best and you're running against the best, and you know it's definitely a tough spot to be. When you win up there, you've earned it, that's for sure. But it's been extremely, you know, go back to the weather, it's been extremely hot in California too. It's been in the 90s every day, which I think it's supposed to change. But and you know, but I noticed even horses here, their hair is starting to grow, you know, so that's
And we saw that earlier this week. What day was it? Was it Wednesday when it started raining and it was so muggy? And we saw a lot of horses going to the post really, really sweaty. And that's probably part of the reason too, is that they've got longer coats. And I mean, it's an interesting question.
Yeah, but going back to the field, like say you touched on Sweet Loretta. I mean, she's 3 for 3. She won the Spinaway her last start. Very, very easily, very impressively, going 7/8. She's by Tappet out of a Bluegrass Catmare. I mean, you'd think that she would want to go further, but that's not going to be a problem. She's had 3 different riders. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't look like who rides her. She's certainly, to me, I think right now, between her and Graham's horse, I think she's probably, those two are probably on top of the list. You know, you talk Yellow Agate, you know, she won the Frisette, her last start, and came from back, and that was going a mile around one turn, and, you know, she got up in the last jump there to win, and she's by Gemologist, who's had a terrific start in his first crop with his horses, and Christophe Clement, I mean, he's been around, and I mean, you can't count her out, I don't think. You got to give her somewhat of a chance in there.
If you're talking about a home field advantage, the winner of the Grade 1 Chandelier on October 1st, right at Santa Anita, that was the race, of course, we broadcast here on the network that day, and noted and quoted for Bob Baffert was the winner that day. She was 7-1 that afternoon, but obviously she's one that's moving in the right direction. We know that she likes that racetrack, and you think about Bob and his success in this race. He sent out Silver Bullet Day in 98. He came back in 2007 with Indian Blessing. Noted and quoted, probably not going to be confused with either one of those two, but she likes the course.
Well, and then, you know, right behind her was With Honors, Keith DeSormel's horse, Warfront Filly, out of a street cry mare, and she was making the pace, most of the pace to that race, and just failed to hang on, just barely getting beat, finished second. And that was her first time on the dirt.
She ran a good race.
Yeah, she ran good. So, you know, I guess there was some, that's, I mean, I guess that's why she was 9-1 coming off 2 wins off the turf. But she's, you know, she could certainly improve off that. And same thing with Union Strike. You know, she won Del Mar debutante there, going 7/8, and like I say, I think that she's bred to go long too. Union Rags, Smart Strike mare, another horse that could, you know, that could jump up. She's only run twice. She hasn't run since early September, where a couple of these other ones have already had races, so that could come into play too.
So much of what we look for when handicapping the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is pedigree. And John keeps talking about, hey, bred to go long. Doesn't always equate to success going longer distances like many of these fillies and even the two-year-old boys are going to be asked to do in early November. But it's a big handicapping factor, so keep that in mind. It would probably bode well if you could do your homework on pedigree and looking at who has the pedigree to stretch out and be successful at longer distances. We're going to get to our last break of the morning. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Breeders' Cup Distaff next. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Racing fans, the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Santa Anita are now less than 2 weeks away, and with the brilliant undefeated Songbird set to take on fellow Eclipse Award winners Beholder and Stellar Wind in the $2 million distaff on Friday, November 4th, this year's Breeders' Cup Day 1 could be the best in Breeders' Cup history. On Saturday, November 5th, superstar California Chrome takes on the likes of Traverse Stakes winner Arrogate as they head the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Go to BreedersCup.com and make your reservations now. Santa Anita, proud host of the Breeders' Cup World Championships in November.
Ramsey Farms Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. Divisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards.
Joy, a world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
They come into the quarter pole, Beholder, and Gary Stevens strikes the front. Gary Stevens hasn't moved on Beholder. Beholder is in front by two. Authenticity, Close Hatches, Royal Delta's gone, so is Princess and Silmar. An eighth to go, and Beholder is let loose. And Beholder is now clear by four with a 16th to go. Beholder putting on a memorable performance under Gary Stevens. Beholder never gave them a chance in the distaff. Wins it easy. Close Hatches was second. Then came Authenticity, Royal Delta, Street Girl, and Princess Silmar was last.
Trevor Denman with a call of the 2013 Breeders' Cup distaff. Beholder dominating that afternoon at Santa Anita. She is pointing for the race yet again this year. Keep in mind, she missed the Breeders' Cup in 2014 and 2015. If everything sticks together, though, over the next couple of weeks, Beholder figures to be, well, pretty tough in that distaff, but it's a loaded field, and we're going to talk about it here in just a couple of minutes on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Hey, I've been telling you for the past few weeks that if you are looking for an ATV, an off-road vehicle for your farm, for any recreational purposes, there is only one place to go. It's the same place I went to get my side-by-side ATV. It's MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. You go in and you see Mark and Trish Smith. They are the owners of MLS Power Sports. They're going to take care of you. Their staff is knowledgeable. They're friendly. They are passionate about off-roading. And let me tell you,
they really worked with me. They helped me in so many different ways in terms of educating me on the vehicle that I was purchasing, and then, of course, getting a great price as well. It's MLS Power Sports in Kentucky. They are the largest Arctic Cat dealer in central Kentucky and the largest pre-owned off-road dealer as well. Make sure you get in there now. It's a great time to get the best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV for your farm for any recreational purposes. MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. You tell them that the Baron told you to come in and check out the new ATVs. All right, gentlemen, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is next on the docket. Johnny, you want to take a crack at this one and talk about some of the main contenders in your opinion?
Yeah, well, you can just start right at the top with Classic Empire, who was exceptionally very impressive winner, I thought, here at the, in the Breeders' Futurity here a couple of weeks ago. He's had his issues at the gate, as we all know, but they put blinkers on him last time, and it hopefully that's it looked like it solved the problem, and I got to give him, I mean, he's by Pioneer, the Nile, Cat Thief. We know about all that, you know, the Pioneer, the Nile stuff. I mean, American Pharaoh, why, you know, the whole deal. So, I mean, he's bred to do it, and I think that he was, like I say, if he makes the trip out there well and draws good and all that, I got to give him a pretty good chance to make a big impression out there to some people. And, there's several of these horses here that if you go back and you look at some of these horses, say, for instance, like Not This Time, Dale Roman's horse, he kind of just ran around the track there first time out at Churchill early. Then he came back and beat at Ellis Park, but he ran a mile and he won by 10. And then he came back and he won the Iroquois by 8 or 9. And, I mean, he's just found himself, so to speak. And he didn't even get off good that day. He kind of hopped at the start the day he won the Iroquois over there. And that was a mile and a 16th. And I know the track was a little muddy, but he did it the right way. And I was talking to Robbie Alvarado about this horse, and he just can't say enough good about this horse right now. I mean, he thinks this horse is a really, really good horse. And so, I mean, he's going to be, you know, he might be overlooked a little bit because he's coming from here. You got to give him a big chance also in there, I would think.
It reminds me a little bit of Brody's Cause, doesn't he? When you take a look at his past performance, the way he finishes.
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, that's the kind of trip that you might want out there. You know what I mean? I mean, one of them horses that kind of can find him a good spot 3 or 4 lengths back and then, you know, give it to you when you ask him the question. And then, you know, and then you got a horse like Theory. He's coming off 2 sprint races that, you know, we saw him win the Futurity last week pretty easily. 3 Rules is a winning machine from you know, he's coming out of Gulfstream for Jose Pinson's. And I mean, he's been running, you know, with restricted horses. But, I mean, he's been just dominating those horses.
Yeah.
I mean, holy criminy. I mean, he's winning by, you know, 10, 8, 7, whatever. I mean, he just like, takes it to them. And it's going to be interesting for a horse like that, you know. I mean, now you're running against the best 2-year-olds in the country to see how he does. But wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't beat him. Doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, he's, you know, he's got some talent. That's
beating
for sure.
Everybody so far, perfect 5 for 5 for 3
really.
Rules. Yeah. Very good horse. How about JT? Did you see anybody in the Juvenile that was really jumping off the page at you?
Well, what concerns me is how far back Not This Time is going to get. Because if you look at the Brisnet pace figures, I mean, Syndergaard, you know, he's tremendous speed horse. 109, 113 in his last race, the first 2 calls. 105, 113, first 2 calls of his next to last race. And, you know, Johnny mentioned Theory and 3 Rules. These were all speed horses. Not This Time, his numbers, 79 and 82 and 68 and 71. This horse is going to be 30 lengths behind. Now, maybe he can close 30 lengths.
Texas Red?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he can. I don't know. I just, for me personally, and I think Not This Time is probably going to be a short price. For me personally, I don't know if I want to bet
a bunch of money
on a horse that's going to be, you know,
if he's a short
3-1, 7-2, that's going to come from out of the clouds.
No, I'm thinking more like 8-1.
Yeah, that's possible. But, you know, they've been shopping this horse around town for millions of dollars. I mean, millions, more money than I would even think he was worth. And if that's the case, you know, there's going to be a lot of hype.
Yeah.
A lot of rich guys own the horse. The price goes down.
So who are the horses that find themselves in a tactical position, maybe get first run? A horse like Classic Empire,
example? Classic Empire, I agree with Johnny. He was very impressive the other day. And what a smooth ride. If you did the ISO cam, because I did that mentally, I just keyed on this horse because there was so much hype on him going into the race. And I said, I'm not going to worry about the other horses watching it live. I just want to see. And Julian just rode this horse with the utmost confidence. It was a tremendous ride. And I think he's a very talented horse. But, you know, I go to Klimt a little bit too. He's got a local advantage. I don't think that they were particularly worried about winning the front runner. I think Baffert wants to win this race with Klimt. And I think, you know, there was some controversy after the race about Bejarano giving him too much to do and stuff, but it was his first route race. And I don't think Baffert wanted him to go out there and just go balls to the wall and try to win this race with the Breeders' Cup coming up. Gormley went wire to wire. He ran a good race, good looking horse. Can't take anything away from him, but I thought Klimt ran really, really well that day. I thought he kept to his task in the stretch, and I thought the race, just when I first saw it, I said, that race should set him up perfectly for the Breeders' Cup. He has that home field advantage. He's got Baffert in his corner. You know, I kind of like him, just more of a gut call than anything else. But this is another good race. This is why I love the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I think they're actually, we were talking about the fillies earlier. I think that I think this race is even more intriguing than the filly race. You know, I think that there could be, like you say, this could really, like, say, wow, look at this horse. You know, he's really improved, and he could really be the one now.
Well, speaking of the one, last year it was Nyquist who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, went on and won the Kentucky Derby. We are just 196 days, 8 hours, 43 minutes, and 23 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. So keep that in mind when you're handicapping that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Another piece of useless information that won't help you when you're trying to pick the winner, but keep that in mind anyways. All right, we're going to step away for a short word from Gainsway. They are the sponsor of this Road to the Breeders' Cup segment. Then we'll come back after this one-minute break, and we will, we'll preview the Breeders' Cup Distaff. That's next.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with 2 more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Tapazar really on a roll at Gainsway. Tip, tap, Tapazar going to the post in today's Jean Lafitte Futurity. And Tapazar now with nine, count them, individual two-year-old winners to date. And, boy, he is on a roll. The son of leading sire Tappet standing at Gainsway, the sponsor of this Road to the Breeders' Cup segment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, guys, we've been talking about the quality of the field in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, and it is, if everything holds together, it's going to be exceptional. You're talking about Champion Beholder. You're talking about Songbird. You're talking about Stellar Wind, who's gotten the best of Champion Beholder this year. What do you think? I mean, how do you guys see this? Is it about those big three, or is there somebody else that we could throw into the mix too?
No, I think there's a couple other ones. I mean, you know, you look at a horse like I'm a Chatterbox, who won easily here. I know that the field wasn't great in the Spinster, but she did it pretty easy. You know, I mean, you how can you not give her a chance? I mean, she's won several million dollars and $2 million. I mean, what the heck? Forever Unbridled. She's coming off of a huge win in the race at Belmont up there, and I mean, you know, she may be a little bit on the inconsistent side, but not really when you look at it. I mean, she shows up every time too. She's, you know, win, second, third win. I mean, she's by Unbridled Song. You know, I mean, she's another millionaire, almost a million five. I mean, Songbird's been untested, you know, and been out there obviously training, and Stellar Wind the same, Beholder the same. Coralina shows up every time. I mean, she's right there every time too. I mean, you know, it might be the best race to watch or betting race of the whole card, really, when you think about it, because there's, you know, like I say, there's five or six of them in there that, you know, could easily win. I mean, Songbird will be the favorite by sure?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, she might be 4-5 or something in there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, especially with Beholder getting beat the last two times
to
Songbird. So she's, even though she's...
You don't think Stellar Wind will get any respect off
of
those?
Oh, I think she'll get respect.
Yeah.
I kind of differ with Johnny in that I think it's those three horses. Yeah. You know, I think speed figure-wise, it's a two-horse race between Beholder and Stellar Wind. If you
Songbird
just look
doesn't
at
stack up.
If you well, the best she's run on the Brisnet scale is 103. She's run that in her last three races. Now, what I say about Songbird is I don't think she's really been tested. I think she can run faster than the 103, and she's only going to have to run up to like a 107 in order to get the job done, or at least be competitive with those fillies. So let's say in order to win she has to run a 108, so she has to improve 5 points, which is not insignificant. But I think with her huge winning margins, and you know, she's probably capable of doing that on her best day. But she's going to have to run her best race to win this race.
Yeah, has she ever really been asked?
I don't...
Yeah, I know she was tested a couple of starts back in the stretch at Saratoga, but she drew off, she won in a hand ride that day.
Yeah.
Has she ever really been asked for everything she has in the stretch?
I mean, the only guy that can answer that question is Mike Smith.
Yep.
I mean, he's the only guy that can answer that question. And I don't think she's been asked, you know, for everything she's got. And she may have to be asked for everything she's got in this race, but I cannot feature any other than those three fillies winning this race. One of those three has to win, in my opinion. But
if you could have one of these to own.
Oh, well, that's a tough question. I gotta say
Beholder.
Beholder would.
She's got the most in the bank, right?
Well, I don't care about that so much. But I mean, I would love to own Songbird. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't love to own a filly that goes 11 for 11?
Right.
Who wouldn't love to own Beholder? Right. Beholder ran one of the best races I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And I'm getting old enough now where that's significant. You know? I mean, I started going to races when I was three. Yeah. So I've been going to the races for 56 years. I never saw a horse run like that. And yeah, she was more impressive than Man of War. I never got to see him run. But most people think I have, though. But that Pacific Classic, I'll never forget that race. That was just brutal. I mean, she just destroyed that field. And, you know, I don't know. My least favorite of the three is Stellar Wind, and I don't know why, because
she never gets any respect.
She's
really?
A good filly. I mean, she's proven how good she is. She's beaten Beholder twice, and Beholder's run the best speed figures of her life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That would be a tough question, but I would say I would take Songbird. First of all, she's by Medaglia d'Oro, who's one of my favorite sires of all time.
Right.
And you know, she just does everything so easy. And I always love fillies anyway. I loved to train them, and I just always seem to have, well, the horses of Hooper that I first two mentioned, the first two horses I mentioned when we were talking about Hooper were fillies, Susan's Girl and Quay's Quilt. So.
All right, guys, only a couple minutes left here to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum. Johnny, thanks for being aboard here this morning. We'll do it one more time before we head to Breeders' Cup next Saturday, and look forward to getting you back in the mix one more time.
Okay, yeah, we'll do it. And everybody have a good day today, I hope, and it should, you know, have a big crowd out there. Everybody be safe, and we'll look at the Cats tonight and see what they can do against Mississippi State. Maybe they can go get on their way to a bowl game. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll
there's
see
always that chance.
There's always a chance.
All right, well, good stuff. Our coverage this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time. You'll hear the Maryland Million Classic and the Lexus Raven Run. Anthony Stabile, Anthony Affronti will bring you that coverage. You can listen worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And as we edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, you'll want to head over to horseracingradio.net for all the podcast of our programming and a complete Breeders' Cup Week schedule as we bring you that exclusive coverage November 4th and 5th and all week long presented by visitbarbados.org and our coverage in Spanish, HRRNEspanol.com, is presented by Gulfstream Park.
Gulfstream Park. We'll be there.
Before too long. The beat goes on. It's unbelievable. Head over to HRN in Espanol right now if you have Spanish-speaking friends. If you want to listen to racing coverage in Spanish, 10 to 11 Eastern, you can listen to Talking Racing, Hablando de Abismo, with Roberto Rodriguez and Eloy Vielma. That's 10 o'clock Eastern at HRNinEspanol.com. Follow us on social media as well, HRN and HRN in Espanol. Our thanks to Cricket Goodall, to the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, and to John Gasper for being with us this morning. Our producer, Lee Delapina, doing a tremendous job for us once again here in studio. For the Pontiff of the Pick Four, I'm Mike Penna, and until next week, well, why not? Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.